God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you. We thank you. I thank you for this time, this moment of just being able to just expound on your word. I never know what to say, God. I need you to put words in my mouth. I pray for your anointing, oh God. And even out of these 40-some years, oh God, of just studying and being in your word, oh God, and you just using me all these years, oh God, here I am again, you know, and I just need to be humble before you, oh God, because I'm not learned like most people are, but I know that if I humble myself, if I let myself go, you will speak through me, and people, we will be blessed, including myself. So here I am again, oh God, taking myself out of this picture, oh God. I just need for you to speak to us this morning, oh God, in the name of Jesus, and we thank you right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I love the word, man. I do. You know, and I just when things get tough, I get into the word, y'all. I tell you, and I got to a point now where I know prayer will change things, you know. And no matter what, I would stop in a minute and just start praying. You know, I wasn't like that before, you know. But I know that there's a certain place that God has brought me into, you know, and I know today I want to help to encourage you to get into this place where God is taking me, is taking our leadership team, has taken our church. And that's why our ministry has sustained it all these years, in spite of all the different things that have been going on in our church with people in, people out. You know, it's just like that song, is people moving in, people moving out, people all over the world. Y'all know what I'm talking about, but it's like a ball of confusion sometimes. But in Christ, there is no confusion. You know, it's only the righteous. It's only about the righteous. And I want to talk to you today about walking in righteousness. That's what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you a few minutes about that, you know. And, I have some scriptures, and you get your books. I'm not going to read to you long, because I just want to really kind of get into it. But as my scriptures for God is Psalms 139, 23, and 24. That's on page 727 in the Voice Bible, and 728. Also, Micah, page 1096. Matthew 6:33. Micah 6:8. I'm sorry, 6:8 on page 1096. Matthew 6:33, that's on page 1159, and Titus 2:11-12, and that's on page 1477. And these are all in the Voice Bible. And okay. We are, I just want to, these are just base scriptures. I do have some more that I want to share with you, and I want to let you know what they are. And I don't really have a page number for them, but because I was reading them out of another, and that's Genesis 5:18-14 in the Job, the first chapter of Job. And these are, but I'm going to read my base scriptures to you first. And I'm gonna read it out the Living Bible. I've been reading out of all these Bibles. The Living Bible, the Amplified. I just went through all of them pretty much just to get some more enlightenment on the scriptures. I used to just be, I'm gonna tell y'all right now, I used to be just a King James Bible person. I will King James you to life, you know. And, and I appreciate all these other interpretations that we have out here, translations and stuff, because they're all good. This Voice Bible is really awesome because of the way it is. Okay. The book of the Psalms 139, and it says, explore me, O God, and know the real me. Dig deeply and discover who I am. Put me to the test and watch how I handle the screen. And examine me to see if there is any evil bones, bone in me, and guide me down the path forever. Okay? And the next one, I'm just going to go right on through with it. Next one is going to be on page 1096. Micah 6 and 8. Okay. It says no. Says no. He has told me, he has told you, mortals, what is good in his sight. What else does the Eternal ask of you but to live justly and to love kindness and to walk with your true God in all humility? Okay, humility. All right, that's now the next one is going to be Matthew 6 and 33. Basically, we all know that 1159 is that page. Pretty much. Oh, I'm sorry. Guess what, folks? I didn't take and put a mark on that. But we pretty much know that scripture by heart because we quote that one a lot. Mm-hmm. So anyway, he's talking about walking. We have to walk in righteousness. We just have to walk by God's side. We have to walk with God. You know, sometimes we get to a place where we expect God to be right there all the time. But sometimes we just got to walk with him. You know, there's a situation that was in the Bible, you know, where I love to talk about is in the beginning when God created everything, you know, and Adam, he walked with God all the time. He walked with him all the time, you know, all the time. All right. Let me get there. 6 and 33. All right, that's page 1159. And it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Y'all hear me okay? And his righteousness. And then all these things will be given to you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek the kingdom first and his righteousness. And then all these things will be added unto you. Yeah, and then, you know, sometimes we say, okay, well, if that's the case, then how come the people that are not saved get blessed? You know, how come? You know, we always ask that question. You know, we look at our neighbor and seeing how prosperous he is or she is, and we ask the question, and we look at their lifestyle, and we say, you know what? They're not righteous, but yet and still, they're living better than I do. Y'all know what I'm talking about because y'all been there, right? Somebody been there. You've been there. You can raise your hand because I know y'all on mute. Amen. Okay. But we have been there in that situation where we see and we know, you know, we're doing what we're supposed to do according to what we believe is right, you know. And everybody knows that it's come to a point in time where how many of us really know how to walk in righteousness, you know? I mean, we have studied the Word. We've been in the Word. We've been in the Word pretty much. Like I said, I've been studying this Bible for 40 years, man. For 40, 44, 45 years, actually. Because I started when I was 20. But it's been 45 years I've been studying the book. And still am I in a place of being able to understand how to walk in righteousness, you know? And I know we say, oh, you know what? You know what? And we use this, I don't know if we use it as a cushion, you know, to do what we want to do or not, but we say, you know what? Jesus was the only one that was righteous, you know? And we do. Jesus was the only one that was righteous. So, you know, we have an excuse for not to walk in righteousness because Jesus was the Son of God. So that eliminates us from being perfect in this world. But no, it does not. It's a mind thing that we choose is not that we the choice that we make to follow after our flesh or follow after the spirit. And that's the thing. Because Jesus, even though we say we see Jesus, he was righteous. He came here. Even when John the Baptist saw him when he came, when John, everybody move out of the way. Here come the Messiah. Here come the Son of Man, the Son of God. Here come the Son of God. Oh, I got to stop. I have to stop everything I'm doing to go ahead on and baptize him because he is the righteous one. That's what the Bible says. He called him righteous. So here's the righteous one. The righteous one. He comes in. John said, listen, man, I'm not even worthy to even do this. I ain't even worthy to tie your shoes, unloose your shoes. That's what he said. I'm not even that worthy because guess what? I'm not righteous as you are. Even though John the Baptist, with all the things that John the Baptist had done, everything that he did during those times, he's out there preaching in the woods. This is Jesus' cousin. This is Jesus' cousin, actual first cousin. And he out there setting the pathway. He's setting the pathway before righteousness even came, before righteousness, before anybody had ever really seen him as who he was. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, but the thing about it is just because we can't keep making excuses for where we fall short at, you know? And I mean, I know we do. We all do. I don't care. I've been a minister for a long time, too, but I still made mistakes. Do I still make mistakes? Yes, I still make mistakes, you know? And every day I have to ask the Lord to forgive me, you know? But every day when I wake up, I ask God to help me to walk in righteousness. Help me to walk beside you. Help me to walk, you know, because I know you're walking beside me every day. Because if you wasn't, I wouldn't be breathing right now. I would be not here right now. I've been done. He said, okay, let me cut your cord. Let me send you back. But no. He decided to keep giving us chance after chance after chance after chance. So, you know, but yet it's still Matthew. This is one of our favorite scriptures. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. If I seek the kingdom of God and all of his. He said, then seek ye first the kingdom of God. I love the scripture. And the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And his righteousness. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And his righteousness, not all his righteousness, and his righteousness. And guess what, folks? And all these things will be given. They will be given to you. What things is he talking about? Anything that we so desire, you know? If you delight yourself in him, he will give you the desires of your heart, you know? But there's a place that we have to come to because guess what, folks? Honestly, do we know how to accept all the blessings that God has for us? You know, have you ever wondered why some of us haven't received everything that God has for us, even though it's already laid out, it's already been predestined for us to receive God's greatness? The reason is because we're not ready for it as of yet. We haven't positioned ourselves to be receiving as of yet. Walking in righteousness. Okay. And the last one, and then I'll be soon finished. After I read my little notes, that is 11, verse 2, chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Let's see, page 1477. And it says, we have cause to celebrate because the grace of God has appeared. We got cause to celebrate because the grace of God has appeared. His grace has appeared. His grace has always been here, you know. And offering the gift of salvation to all people. And verse 12 says, grace arrives with its own instructions, run away from anything that leads us away from God. Run away from it. Sometimes you got to run. You know, I remember a time, situation having that, to run. Actually had to run from some situations. And some folks, sometimes if it's not righteous, we got to turn our back and run. Not that you're afraid, but you're saving your life. You know, we got to save ourselves. Okay, run away from anything that leads us away from God. That's what the word says here. Abandon the lust and the passions of this world. Live life now in this age with awareness and self-control, doing the right things that keeping yourself holy. Okay? That's the only way that you can walk in righteousness. Now I want to, I'm going to go, and I'm going to reading to this other Bible, Tisdale Bible. This is a King James Version. And I just got a couple of scriptures I want to read out here. But I want to, let me give you a footnote right quick. A footnote. All right. Walking in righteousness is the path of righteousness. The path of righteousness is to walk by God's side. It's to walk by God's side. You know, that's what walking in righteousness is. It's the path of righteousness to walk by God's side. Okay, to be committed to him, to be loyal and faithful to him. You see that? To be loyal and faithful to him. I mean, how many of us can be, I made a comment about some, situation once before, how loyal we are to our jobs, how loyal we are to our association with some of our friends, and if we was committed, loyal to our to God, like we are to some situations that we're in, you think we'd be in a much better place than where we are right now? Sometimes you have to just say, you know what, forget everything. I let everything go just to be with God, just to be close to him, because I know, realize that one day you're coming back. He's coming back one day. I don't know when. They've been telling me for, I remember when I came to Virginia, I didn't know Jesus at all. I didn't know nothing about being, my righteousness was a whole different righteousness than what I've learned. You understand what I'm saying? But I felt like I was right anyway, because I didn't go out here, beat people up. I didn't go out here and steal from folks. You know what I'm saying? It was tough for me to steal from the store, Yeah, I ain't gonna lie, I did take from my mama, and I got whooped out the frame for taking the change, And no pretty y'all have done something too. But my mama told me, I'd be taking the change, buy me candy, and just eat it before I got home. Eat it before I got home. And then she's like, why your teeth got all that? Your teeth is red, Why you got them? Why you got crumbs all on your mouth? I was feeling so good eating them cookies and eating that candy. I forgot to even wipe my mouth off and walk through the house. And she said, where my change at? Oh, I dropped it. I didn't drop it. I dropped it into the store man's hand so I can get them cookies. You see what I'm saying? And Mama Gray told this tale up. She didn't wait. It won't know. Oh, okay. That's what you're going to do. You're going to take my chain. Pow, 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 pow. Spare the rod, spoil the child. She never spared that rod, But you know what? And here it is. You know how we are. You're going to do it again, But I never did to anybody else. You understand what I'm saying? I always did it to my mom. I always got tore up all the time. Boy, this booty was wrong. I was wrong. You know what I'm saying? But that was. But you know what? But morally, as I grew up, I thought things were, I was right. Morally, because we know there is a certain way that we conduct ourselves as growing up, and we become morally right. We walk in our own righteousness, because this is what we believe. This is what we've been taught. But then once we become in Christ, then it all changes. Then we begin to start seeing things totally different. When my friends, when after God saved me, then I realized that there was something different that was taking place in my life, So when I went around Billy and Clarence, because those are two guys I hung out with, and they was like, well, Jesse, what's wrong? You don't seem the same. I said, no, I don't feel the same. I said, when I got saved, I said, listen, you got to try this, They were Jehovah's Witnesses, And I mean, I tried this stuff, what they did, because their parents would just, when you went over their house to eat, you had to sit down there, you had to read out of the book thing they had. We didn't do that growing up. Mama didn't have no Bible. We read like when I went over there to David and Donna there, when I would go to their house, mommy would pull out, you had to read before you eat, you had to read and look. If you ain't know no scripture, he had on the table a bread of life. Had scriptures in there. You go into the piece of bread, the little bread that had scriptures in it. You pull out the little card out and you read the scripture. That was the way that before we ate anything. David can tell you that. That's how mommy was. We sit down at that table. If you plan to eat that good meal, you got to read the scripture. I didn't know, but then I began to start learning scriptures. You see what I'm saying? You start developing every day as you go along. And my friends, they cut themselves off from me because they seen something different in me. I was being transformed. God was transforming me, to the place where he wanted me to be. I had no idea that I would be ministering the word to people, you know, like I'm doing. I had no idea that this my life would be like it is. I had no idea that my family would be where they are. I had no idea that this would be, you know, that God would transform me the way that he did. But God had a plan. You know what? You know what the scriptures say. God has a plan already. He already had a predestined what he has for you. You know, and the thing about it is that we have to get to the place where we begin to start walking. Forget about the coronavirus. Forget about the fact that you don't have no man or woman. You know, forget about your job could be. Forget about you don't have the money that you're supposed to have. If you begin to start walking, if we begin to start walking in righteousness, guess what will happen in our life? Then these things will happen. All these things will be added unto you. You will get what God has already in store for you. Well, Jesse, Pastor. How does the unsaved get it? Because he already said that he do that, you know. But God has something even greater for us, you know, that the enemy can't even take away from us. Hello. You know what? I used to say, you know, we'd be riding with the city when I worked with the city of Virginia Beach. We'd be riding in a truck and they'd be like, oh, man, you know what? Oh, I can't even see myself living. We're out there with $1 million homes there. I can't even see myself living in a house like that. They be like, they called me Rev. They said, Rev, what do you think? I said, I can see myself living in that. Talking about they can't afford to keep the lights on. I said, well, you know what? I got to think. And I said, well, you know what? If God blessed me to live in here, in this big old mansion, whatever the price was, because we had no idea. We just seen that it was a mansion. It was big enough, bigger than our homes. So anything bigger than my house was a mansion to me. Okay. So anyway, so I turned around. I said, well, dang, that is a big. But you know what? But I know my God, if he provides for me, he will provide for me to keep the lights and waters on. That's what he would do. He will not fail me. If he blessed me with it, you know, and he already said he would give me my heart's desire, you know, I ain't asked for no mansion, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, he would do that. You know, we ask God. Okay, so this is the path of righteousness is to walk by God's side. We're going to be committed to him. You know, and be loyal and faithful to him, because that's all he wants. That's all he wants from us. That's all he wants from us. That's all he wants from us, to prepare ourselves, you know. And you know what? We could change our nation. We can change our community. We can change everything. Righteousness, the quality of living morally right. And or justifiable, that's what it is. And righteousness is in the term in the Bible. It appears in the Bible 400 to 540 times, and is in 520 verses in the Bible. That's what it is. It's just a right standing with God. That's all it is. It's just a right standing with God. Now, do you want to walk with? Do you want to walk like God walked? Do you want to be like him? Do you want to do the things that he's capable of doing? And, you know, and the crazy thing is that I don't understand is that God said that we would be able to do things that he was able to do. But guess what? Even in a greater manner, we will be able to do, you know. Now, I want to use this. I told you Genesis 5:18, which is 18:24, which I'm not even going to read. But I just want to talk about it for a moment. That was Enoch coming out of those books. And I was thinking about who walked with God, who walked in righteousness. And it was only a few people in that I could. It's a bunch of them that actually walked in righteousness. But the significant point of things happening because of their righteousness, certain things happened. And these two was the two that came out of me, was Enoch and Job. Enoch, the Bible says that Enoch, he walked. He was righteous. He was righteous. And, you know, and the thing about it was this guy was so in tune to God that he would just come out of this room that you all are in, and he would be trained. He got translated. You know what I'm saying? His moment being with God. And then one translation commentary, it says that Enoch he never died. So he's still alive. But commentary say that he's the only patriarch in the Bible that they declare that he's still alive. Because he never died. He never died. He translated. God took him. God took him. You know? I said, whoa. And I got to read about that. Okay. He was 365 years old, and he walked with God, and then God said, then God took him, and he was no more. That's what the Bible said. That he was no more. Isn't that something? Isn't that powerful? You know, and the thing about it is that he did. He walked with God. He talked with God. He had a relationship with God that was so powerful that God said, look, guess what? You know what? You done what I had for you to do. Now, come on. You know, he did not never experience death. You know, now, in Job, which I'm about to close, Job, that was another one. Job, wow, that we know that that was some powerful stuff. You know, the enemy, the accuser, you know, he felt like that. You know, if God took away everything, if God, the only reason why Job was the way he was to God was because of all his stuff. And this Bible here that I was reading, and I was reading some of the commentary on this from here, which I'm not even going to read for the sake of time. But if you get a chance, just go back and study stuff about Job. Job had so much stuff. He was so prosperous. It did not make any sense. You know, some say that Job was went from rags to riches, from rags back to riches. And that's what happened, because through it all, after everything happened, God gave him a double portion of what he had. So he doubled everything that he had, you know, because of his righteousness with God, because of where God, and God knew, God bet on that this man would never turn his back. Even when his wife said, look, man, baby, you done gone through so much hell and high water. Forget it. Look at you. You got boils all over your body. You're sitting up here in sackcloth and ashes, and you're still going to serve him. You're not going to curse him. And he told him, he said, get away from me. You a devil. You a demon. You talking like a devil. You talking like somebody evil. Isn't that something for your spouse to come to you and tell you to curse God so that way that you will not suffer anymore because you lost everything that you had? I love my wife. You know what I'm saying? Still love her too. Still love her. She gone, but I love her. You know, but the thing about it is the love that great that you want to turn around and say, turn your back on God because of your wife or your husband, your spouse? Job said, no. He left a good example for us. Men's, brothers, he left a good example for us. Even when we have been to the place where we know we're walking the way God wants to walk, and someone come up to you and said, nope, do it. David, don't you do it. Boy, you better let that thing go, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm not letting nothing go. But God, you know what God has done? Out of everything that I lost my children, my children gone. My millions of cattle's gone. I done lost millions of dollars. You all know how you got your stock. You got your stock in your 401k. Y'all got your little this and that, you know, your little retirement and all that stuff, RAs and whatever you have, you know, stuff like that. Let it be gone, and where are you going to be? Many times we turn around and say, you know, and I was guilty of the same thing. You know, I just felt like that God, you know, I just didn't want to do him no more. You know, you ever feel like that? I just didn't want to do him no more. I was just tired of all of this stuff. You know what I'm saying? Can I just live a normal life? What is a normal life now once you've been in Christ? Can you really say what a normal life is now that you're in Christ? No, there is no such thing as a normal life once you're in Christ. Only normal life is walking in righteousness and doing what God says. That's it. I love the Lord with all my heart. We sit there and say, I will die for you, Lord. You know, and there's a book Donna and I used to read. We both had our own book we read. We were in a reading competition, you know, about the martyrs and how these people was martyrs for Christ's sake. And let me tell you something. Can you imagine that somebody come up to you and you in a football stadium, you know, and these stadiums have, y'all know the stadium back then, the Coliseum, they were made out of brick. The floor, the wood, the steps, was the Coliseum was made out of stone, not like the Coliseum that we have over in Hampton. You know, they got cushioned seats and everything. They were made out of stone. And just imagine that you were in the Hampton Coliseum. We use that one because that's close and you can recognize. And you decide, now this is true. We get to the point where you say, okay, I walk with God. God is my all in all. I love him. I am for his righteousness, and I will live for him, and I will die for him. And then they say, okay, really? Okay. Right. Tie a rope around your ankles and take you out there and out there at the top of the Coliseum steps, and then pull you down, take it, hit the bull, slap the bull on the back, and you go down them steps. Bloop, 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 bloop. We're not talking about the cushion seats they got over there at the Hampton Coliseum. We're talking about them stone seats they got in the Coliseum down in, like they have over in Rome. Are you going to say you're righteous, you're walking with God? Or are you going to give up? It's a question. You're going to curse God, or you're going to live? I got a bullet to your face. Got the gun to your face. Curse God. Curse God. But you ain't got nothing anyway. What you got? You got a hoopty? You live in a townhouse? You know? You got $300 in your bank account. And what you got? I got Jesus. I got the Lord. He's on my side. He's always been on my side. I'm walking in righteousness. I'm trusting with my life. You know? Shoot me. Guess what? Because if you kill me, guess what? Cool, I got to go to a better place. And the Bible already said if we die, die is the gain. Die is the gain. You know? Listen, folks. We have to just get to the place where we begin to start doing what God says. You know, we have talked over and over again, trusting God, you know, having faith in God, and, you know, and listening to God and hearkening to God's word, you know, and just trusting God over and over again. Listen, if you can't trust him with just the little stuff that God is doing, you know, how are you going to trust him to the point where something happens? You know, because we're living in a day and time now where, you know, the reality of it is that there's a lot of people that don't believe in this. You know, we at a place where, you know, well, you can call it the Antichrist. You know, we went through Trumponomics, you know, with all of this stuff, but he decided he's going to try to change the world. He's setting a pace. I really believe that, you know. And the thing about it is that, you know, it's one step right after another. Something's soon to happen. It's already happening, you know. Look at how we're living. We've never lived like this before, you know. Where my mask at? It's over here. We walk around outside like this. People don't even know who we are no more. People can't even see our smile on our faces anymore. Only thing they can see is our eye expression. How many times you gonna let your eyes smile? How many times your eyes be smiling? Huh? Well, my eyes are gonna be smiling in a few minutes if I go cut this watermelon. You know, my eyes would. I'll have a mask on, and guess what? I'll put the happy face mask on my face. But, you know, but what about when terror comes? What about, you know? And you know, and these people in the Bible, you know, we can go through the Old Testament right on through the New Testament. Everybody has had a challenge for walking in righteousness. And we're going to have challenges too. You know, Sister Portia just getting, her son got coronavirus. He was diagnosed with coronavirus, you know. And we know God is able. You know what I'm saying? But imagine how she felt. I understand how she felt when she called me crying. You know? They rushing the baby. Prior to that, the baby had a seizure. While she was going, they were going to get something to eat. You know? Put yourself in that situation. What about you? How would you respond? You know? Yeah. I know when my baby got, when we thought Trina was missing one time we went at a carnival and I ran. I left my baby at the carnival because I thought a gorilla was breaking out. Thought she was right there. Thought I had her. She was dead. I had to go back in there and get my child. Her mama went crazy. I ain't had no choice but to go back in there. Get chewed out or go back and get the baby. I had to go get the baby, you know? But things happen, folks, that causes it. But we have to really trust in God. And I just really believe that more we trust God and just believe what God's word says, makes it so much easier for us to walk upright. That's all it is, just walking upright. Joe, I guarantee you, you know, if you allow me to take everything from David and Deanna You allow me to take everything from them, I bet you they won't serve you no more. Let me take it, burn Linda's house down and take her car. I guarantee she won't serve me no more. Mm-hmm. Let me take them little dolls from Kiana. I guarantee she won't serve you no more. Let me take Portia's car. I guarantee you she won't serve you no more. She had to catch the bus. Get out there, and stand out there with her and William out there on Campstella Road and stand at the bus stop and wait so she can go in the back, because ain't nobody going to give her no ride. We stop serving. I've come to the conclusion in these past few years, that, you know, that God is everything. Do we be perfect in everything that we do, folks? You sit back and say, yeah, I am. I'm perfect. Yeah, I did everything perfect. I did everything right. Yeah, no. I got mad at you the other day. Yeah, you ticked me off the other day. Guess what? You know, so I fell out of perfection. You know, Jesus did the same thing because they were in his house. He's a walk in righteousness, you know, but he got out there. He got the whip. He got the chair. He got the screaming. He got the whipping. He got the chasing. Because guess what? They had a party in church. They had a flea market in church. How can you desecrate the house of God? You know, he was still righteous. You know? But he stood up. Yeah. And that's what we got to do, people. We got to begin to start just standing up. We righteous. We're righteous. You know? And yes, we are. And the thing is, we just have to continue just to walk. No matter how tough it is, no matter how hard things, no matter what we don't see, you know, and our biggest pain, guess what? Our biggest pain is the dollar sign, is the dollar. That's our biggest pain right now, is that money, that finances, you know. But you know what? God owns it all. I'm going to realize that, y'all. God owns it all. If he owns it all, and I am his child, and everywhere that I read in the book, guess what? He took care of his people. So what makes you any difference? And guess what? I was reading about David and Saul, and guess what? Saul and David had two different incidents, you know? But the fact is that God still honored them both. God told Saul not to take certain things, and he did. So he was disobedient. He was okay. He was okay. But God told him. And all the time that God told him what to do, he did what God told him. Guess what God did? God opened the door. God blessed him. David, same way. He saw that woman standing out there. Sent that man out there and did him, you know. But it didn't change the fact that he loved him. He knew David's heart. He knew Saul. And this is what God knows, our hearts, folks, you know. But you know what he wants us to do? He wants us to walk a little bit better than we're walking. Pastor Jesse, he wants you to walk better than what you're walking. You know, you talk to me. He wants me to walk better than I've been walking. That's what he wants. You know, and guess what? He, and trust me, God's opened doors for me. And, you know, and y'all know I didn't want to work nowhere, but God's open. And I believe that the door that God opened me with this job, I know that it's even more to it than just the job. Because y'all know, God has been taking care of me, and I bless him for it, you know, and the more God gives to me, the more I give back to him, you know, and that's it, you know, and that's just trusting him and just wanting to be just all that he wants me to be. I know this is what, like, the last time I ministered, but I took it, oh, yeah, I got a little, about to jump out my seat, and I am still about to jump out my seat, bro, Dave. I am, you know, because I'm excited about what God is doing, you know. But when I look back, like Nick was saying, when I look back over my life and I think things over, you know, I can truly say, yeah, yes, there's more that God wants me. There's more of me that God wants. There's more of me that he wants, you know. And, yeah, he wants. Yeah, will I be like Enoch? Can I be like Enoch? I want to know, can I be like Enoch? What is it that Enoch did that made him be a man, that righteousness that he walked with God? He walked out of the natural. God opened a door, heaven door, you know what I'm saying? Opened the door, and he went on. He translated. What is it? What happened to him? Did he get beamed up like on Star Trek? You know, y'all, I used to watch Star Trek all the time. It was one of my favorite shows, you know. And he said, Scarlet, beam me up. And all of a sudden, he gone. He went from the planet to the starship. From the starship to the planet. That's what God did to Enoch, you know. But he, that was his, you know, God, him and Enoch, they was just, they had that relationship, man. I believe they were like sat down, they were sitting down there playing cards or there, you know, playing pity-pat, you know, because they weren't playing speed, but they sit down there playing pity-pat or playing checkers or chess. I don't know. But you know what? Whatever it was good, okay? And they had fun, you know, and that's what we got to do. But folks, let me tell you something. If you're not having fun being in Christ, something is wrong. Something is wrong. You should be happy. I'm excited. I have my moments, body wrapped in pain, okay? Head start hurting, you know? I'm working on this weight and everything like that. But you know what? But every day I know that I'm accomplishing something even better every single day because guess what? I feel better. I'm thinking better. You know, I'm excited. You know, got my, like the sister Linda here, she said, she showed me the other day, she said, I got my victory flag and she got her banner that says victory. You know, I said, I want to get a banner and I want to pass it out to all the members. So when you just, you hold it up and you wave, I got the victory, you know, because we need something to help us every single day to remind us that we have the victory in Christ. We are, and that we are special. You know what? We used to talk about how we are royal priesthood, the chosen generation. That means that you are walking in righteousness. If you are that, if you are that, if you claim to be, you think King Harry and King and Queen Elizabeth, you think they got more than you got? No. You got the righteousness of God working inside of you. So yes, you are greater. I'm greater. We are greater. And I gotta stop, because if I don't, I'm gonna go ahead on up to another level with this. But I thank God for Jesus. I thank God for all of you. Remember, you are walking in righteousness. Walk in righteousness. Tell yourself, I am walking in righteousness. Every day, tell yourself, I am walking in righteousness. No matter how you feel, I am walking in righteousness. Guess what? My bank account and I are walking in righteousness. My car ain't working right, but we are walking in righteousness. Guess what? My body don't feel good, but we are walking in righteousness. I was waiting for that job, and they ain't gave me that job, but that's okay, because I am walking in righteousness. And you have to tell yourself that, yeah, we might have coronavirus, but guess what? My household is walking in righteousness. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, Brother John, just tell yourself, I am walking in righteousness. In my leg, I can't walk that good, but guess what? I am still walking in righteousness. And that's what we have to do, folks. That's what we got to do. I thank God for Jesus. Love you guys. And I thank God for the word. Pray you got something for it. We're going to prepare. I want to just pray, close this out, and then we're going to get ready for our communion. Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, hallelujah. We were wretches undone, you know, but now we are done. Because of you, Lord Jesus, we accept you as our Lord, and we accept you as our Savior, we accept you as our Father, our Mother. You have been our provider, you have been everything to us, oh God. And every day, God, we just gonna love you more, and we just wanna know you better, oh God. Just get inside of us some more, God. I command it right now in the name of Jesus. And God, you said that. You said you would give me power to be able to command these things, oh God. And I execute it right now, God. And I speak it right now in the name of Jesus over everyone that's under the sound of my voice, oh God. That I command it right now that we walk in righteousness as your word has declared in the name of Jesus. That, and no matter where we do, where we are in our communities, wherever we may be, God, people will see your glory being revealed through us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And we will change lives to everyone we come into contact with, oh God, from this day forth. Oh God, we thank you right now, God. Father, we just give you glory, praise right now, God. And Father, we thank you for it. For, oh dear God, if there's any wrong that any of us have done, oh God, we are coming before you, oh God, for forgiveness right now, before we even take communion right now. In the name of Jesus, forgive us for any sins, oh God, that we may have committed, oh God. And we realize, oh God, that man may never forgive us for anything, but you always forgive us, oh God. And if man not, according to the word, he's supposed to forgive us seven times for 70, that's so in a single day. because you take it and you throw it in the sea of forgetfulness and you don't even remember it no more. So whatever we might have did today or last night or whatever for the weekend, we haven't come before you, oh God. Thank you right now for throwing it in the sea of forgetfulness, oh God, that you're not going to remember it anymore. And God, we're loving you right now. We thank you for all things. Thank you for your word right now. And God, I pray right now, oh God, that it touched our hearts right now. I said, it touched mine. And God, and there's going to be change. There's going to be change expecting right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray right now.